And in the light of our studies on Sunday, those that are trying to follow it and get it, here's our world. Think of Genesis 6 and all the world. Cain builded a city, and that kind of city, what's the city for Cain? In order to keep people together and to corral them, if you might use a word, and to control them and to keep everything in order, their order. After the Genesis, and that ended up, that was the group. That was the group that is found in Genesis 6. Now, then you go to after the flood, the Tower of Babel, and they added all the everyone that was around at that time in the process, a couple of exceptions, but in the process, and they built a tower, religious, to go up closer to the stars and stuff, and a city. They continued a city that Cain did, and they knew that was the way to do it. And what does it do? What do cities and the top religion do? It keeps people in order and gives control to whom? People. And thus, it's all of that we share together is the world system. And the world system goes merrily along all the way through history. God didn't want Israel to be part of the world system, but Israel wanted to be part of the world system. And they did. And they wanted a king. And you know what happened? Once you get caught in the world system, the world system never changes. Always the same mood, same manner. And therefore, Israel became like the world, like they are today. And no different. If they would get down on their knees and pray, I wonder what God might do. But they aren't ready to do that yet. So here we are up to date where we are, and we're looking at the electronic world. We did a little to understand that. The electronic world is just electronics, transistors and diodes capacitors and all shrunk down, you know, big print, shrink it down to a transistor or to a chip, and that whole thing, and then you have, that's all it is, electronics. That's all it is, nothing else. It's what people do with it. And the world system has access, as they've had all through history, to gunpowder that made for wars and all kinds of things. And now here we have the electronic world. Now, in the process of all of that, there's great management because everyone is, the world system, basically, is involved with all kinds of things. You know them, 100 of them. I don't even know them. All kinds of ways. And every time you have a little thing, the whole world is right here, isn't it? All you do is turn it on and slide your finger around, and you can tap the whole world. Where is the whole world? Right here. Right here. That never was in history. So that's going to lead us smack dab into the future, and like never before, because there was never anything on earth like this. And it is the time of the season, historically and biblically, to happen now. And we share together how to be in that and be blessed. God meant everything wonderfully for humans, and even unsaved humans. We share that on Sunday. Wonderful, everything. It's when humans, not necessarily saved, not saved, but there they are, and they're able to go and look to God, like in Acts 17, all that. God rains the rain and the grass and the sun and the seeds and the food. God does that for everybody. And if they would just be thankful, they don't have to get saved. Just honor God, like Nineveh did for 100 years, 160 years thereafter. So that's it. That's an awesome thing. But the world system doesn't want God involved, and that's the problem. Everything's there, but it can't be used and understood as God-given. Now, and we share that. Now, I want to just take, and if you allow me to go, And I want to just review in my little mind, and I'll sort of think out loud if I can. And I want to understand what God has done for us and how he's done it. And I want to understand my personal relationship to God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in the presence of God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit's ministry, his assignment, is to make God the Father and his wonderful person understood by way of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to make that possible, and the Spirit of God's ministry is to make that happen. To what? To understand God the Father. So, as a believer, I want to, and the Spirit of God's ministry is to bring to the human heart the benefits, the blessing, and the bliss of God's work, person, and work on Calvary's cross. So I'm going to run it by you, run it by myself. I'm familiar with it a little bit, and you can say, well, I know all that. Good, good, good. I want you to use what you know and exercise it personally. Now, so when we come to God, when we come and we look to God and his wonderful person, we are reminded very much so that God deals with people personally, not electronically, personally. Personally. He isn't electronic. Electronic is just a gadget. No, I don't want the gadget. The gadget is in the way. I don't want to do that. God, you personally, I need to receive you personally, to me personally. Now, and hang on to that. Now, so God, you're personal and you want to know, I want to know you and you want to know me. It is your will. So in John chapter 14, we'll do it a little more inch by inch a little better. In the upper room, remember, our Lord Jesus goes and he's going to help the 11 that are left, apostles, going to be apostles, and help them to be able to cope with what's going to happen after he is crucified, and to help everyone else, including us. So John chapter 14, picking up, if I may, in verse 26. 14 and 26. But the Comforter, now the Comforter to come to alongside, an advocate to come alongside, to help, to aid, an ally. The Comforter, that's the Spirit of God, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, I just wanted to make a little note in my mind that God the Father sends God the Holy Spirit. So whatever it is, whatever he's got in mind, he's on assignment by God the Father. So now I got that part, and he's come to represent and bring all of the benefits that Christ is making possible. Now, chapter 14, if I can, over in chapter 15, we'll go do that first. Chapter 15 and verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now the Comforter, he's going to come, and the Lord Jesus Christ is going to send him. God the Father is going to send him. God the Son is going to send him. So obviously, that's the headquarters is involved 1,000,000,000%. Okay. Now, so in the process, chapter 14, and if I may, going to verse 17, 14 and 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. You're supposed to, you know him. He's ministering to them. He didn't understand it. That's how they were kept. And he dwelleth with you, he's with you, and he shall be in you. He's going to be in you. That's what's going to happen. You're going to have a wonderful, wonderful thing. The Spirit of God is going to be in you. Now, that's important. And verse 20, that's going to make, when that happens, verse 20 will happen. Verse 20, at that day, when he's in you, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And that's, you have to, all you can do is get a hold of it. Little words, I-N. I am in my Father. I and my Father are one. You are in me, and I am in you. So all words that are overwhelming, they're so profound and so simple, the human heart doesn't believe them. I know they don't. All you got to do is listen to people and watch them. All you got to do is watch. Now, having said that, now that God's going to make all that possible, and he is the Spirit of truth, and that's what he is. So he tells the truth about God, about humans. He tells the truth about everything so that we can know the truth. The word truth, reality, real. Not on a screen, make believe. On the screen, that's not real. It is real what it's you're looking at about it, but it isn't real. It's just electronics coming to life. Now, so here in John and chapter 16. John and chapter 16. And if I may again, you would recall the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to go and, if I can open the page, and in verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, and he's the Spirit of truth. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. So the Spirit of God is true. Jesus Christ is true. God is true. They're real. Real. Wow, that's right. Now, chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient, necessary, profitable for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come, because my Father will send him on basis of my person and work on Calvary's cross. For I go not away, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove, convict, convince the world system, of, as we shared the other day, of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and of sin because you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10, the Lord Jesus Christ can only, the righteousness you need that God demands, Jesus Christ is the only one that can provide it. And in verse 11, the reason all of it is because of the judgment of the devil. If he had, angels never sinned, you and I wouldn't be here. Not that we have no clue that he ever would be here. No reason. Now, but God knew all of that. So now, therefore, the world is world. Now, the Spirit of God that's in you is convicting who through you? The world. That's what his job is. That's why you get saved. So that he, your life, the way you act, stumbling block, we did all of those things. You're careful what you do, what you say. Why? Because you represent him. The Spirit of God in you is going to convict the people of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's what he's doing. And we have to let him do it. Israel didn't want to do that. And the church at the end of the age doesn't want to do that. But believers, God didn't change the thing and the rules and what he's after. And that's what we should be doing, looking to God to have all these things. Now, in the process then, verse 13, chapter 16, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, but he shall not speak of himself. It's just going to stay real. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. And I am going to be glorified. And the process, as I'm lifted up, you're going to understand a relationship that I make possible. Your sin, I'm your Savior, your sin bearer, your sacrifice, and I'm a propitiation, a satisfaction to God on your behalf. Now, So in the light of that. So in. Now, having said that little bit and thinking of that, now, what do we know? So the Spirit of God is going to be revealing the Lord Jesus Christ in the believing heart so that we can know him. Hang on to that. It's coming to know him. And in knowing him, we're going to know him. And what's the Spirit of God going to do? He's going to convict the world because you're knowing him. You're knowing him. And as you know him, the Spirit of God is now going to go, as you know him, he's going to convict the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment, because you know him, and you understand him. So your relationship to God shows up. You don't know it. God does it. Wow. Now, hang on. And if I can, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, picking up if I can, that all of these, I just need to lock onto little words. I want them fresh in my mind. I want to be able to have a intelligent, right access to God that is, you couldn't touch it, it's for real. That's what I want to have. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, what know you not? Don't you know? We're supposed to know that your body, that's the real body that you live in, is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit that are God's. They belong to God. And your body is the temple, the house, the dwelling place of the Spirit of God, who's convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And you know it. You know him. I know. And you do. And that's what we know in here. God shows all of that in his own wonderful way on the outside as we seek to walk in the world, being rightly separated, rightly satisfied, rightly walking straight in the very crooked day. Now, having said that little bit, so the temple shows forth the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected life, which is what we're supposed to be doing. The only sign he's going to give him is the sign of the prophet Jonah, and as he's 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, the Spirit of God is going to go and show forth the Lord Jesus Christ, his resurrection. That's what he's doing. That's what he's doing. He could have cut it off. But that was the whole testimony. He's going to show the world in time of grace. Our Lord Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. And that was what's our dispensation? Grace. What are we doing? We're demonstrating the grace of God. What do you mean, the demonstrating the grace of God? The Lord Jesus Christ is the grace of God. And he rose again from the grave. So how do we demonstrate the age of grace without the Spirit of God? You don't. Now, hang on. And, if you would, over to Galatians and chapter 5. And in Galatians chapter 5, you would recall, we did it just to get the little flavor of it, chapter 5, picking up, if I may, in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, made clear. That's what's in a human heart. That's why they all get together. That's why they band together in cities, towers, religion. All of those things, and control, compute, all of these things. But the world wants control. The world wants to influence. The world wants politics and philosophies and religions and power and a thousand reasons. Money. Wow. Now, manifest, verse 19, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, and then we share together, verse 20, idolatry. Idolatry. And idolatry is what is necessary to support and encourage worldliness. Worldliness can't survive anymore. That's why the Genesis 11, they had to build a tower in a city. Because God put the rainbow, and God put rain, and that means judgment, and we don't want to think about judgment again. What kind of judgment? Everyone was killed, except Noah. We don't want to think about that. So we're going to build a city and a tower so we don't think about it. We don't have to think about such things. We like it. And we want to make sure we don't let anything interfere with that by anybody giving us, anyone shedding light in our darkness that we don't want. Now, chapter 5 in Galatians, and if I may, in verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, so person gets saved, now you're going to have a little problem you never had. Because the Spirit of God, that you're caught up in idolatry, your flesh is there with all the worldliness, it's in it, it's us. The worldliness is non-existent. It doesn't exist without humans. So here we are in it, and that's our old nature. And our old natures, and we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior to correct and get our heart right and our act right and have the benefits, and we do that. But when we do that, our old nature is against that. So when you get saved, you never had a problem with anything, right or wrong, not too much, your conscience, guilt, you have all of that stuff, but you don't really have that too much till you get saved. And then, man, then you remember years ago when people did get saved marvelously, they changed their life. We shared that 1,000 times. The drunkard would get up off the street. They'd all get cleaned up. Everything, get off, go back to work and back to their wife and do everything. Wow. And get their act right. We don't have, I don't know when, that's very hard to find today, if at all, from as compared to what it was. Now, in the light of that, verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, one against the other, one against the other. And so the pull and tug, and the word lust has to do that which attaches itself to something, just like a magnet grabs on it, attaches, tries to hold it. Lust, desire. Your desire to hold on. You want something. We love the world. People love the world. Demas loved the world and left Paul. So we want things. We love them. We don't want it. We want that. I want that. I want this. I want that. That's lust. Now, and thus, the war. The war's on. All right, hang on. So I got that in my heart. I need to know that so I don't think it's some weird thing. And I don't know how to fight it. And I can't fight it if I'm going to go and try to hit it with my fist and try to hit it mentally. I'm not going to win that way. I'm not going to beat that. My old nature is deceitful. It's tricky. It plays the games. Well, it isn't really that bad. You deserve something. I mean, after all, weren't you right? See? And we go through all the maneuvers and we don't see it. Wow. Now hang on there. So here's the lust. So therefore, going to chapter 5, verse 16. How are we going to handle it? This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's pretty easy. Now God, how are we going to overcome this battle, which we can't win? The Spirit of God's ministry is to help us. So we're going to look to him. So I'm not going to win it. You aren't going to win it. We aren't going to do it. God, that's your ministry. That's correct. I'm to help you. That's my job. That's my assignment, to give you and bring to you the benefits. Now hang on, if we can get there fast a little anyway. Verse 16, this walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And all the time, it's the Spirit of God's ministry, his ministry, his ministry, his ministry. So we're talking about not just the lovely person of Jesus Christ in whose presence we are. You're not talking about the lovely God the Father, our love, who loves us. We're talking about the Spirit of God's ministry. God. Your whole ministry is to help us. That's correct. So I'm either going to access and receive the help, or I'm not. Now, and I don't have to hunt for it. I don't have to go find it. Where's the help? I'm in it. Over, if you would please, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, may I pick up, you know it, just the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to do all of these things, but verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. The word grieve has to do with affliction, a sorrow, with making for sorrow, suffering, sorrow, affliction. Grieve, to grieve, to make sad. Well, we don't want to. That Spirit of God, why do you have to get grieved? Because you're resisting me. I want to do something wonderful for you. Christ died on the cross to make it all possible. You don't have to do a thing except believe me and let me do it. But no, God, don't fight me. Don't fight me and make a big issue about stuff. Don't do that. Just honor me. That's all. Wow. Now, and therefore, don't grieve. And again, you know all these little wonderful things. 1 Thessalonians. So that when you think, the Spirit of God, you have them right in your head. I don't want to grieve the Spirit of God. I don't want to do that. In the middle of work, home, school, driving the car, cooking supper, I don't want to grieve the Spirit of God. That's what I know. I don't want to do it. And I don't want to go, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and in verse 19, 5 and 19, if you're there, quench not the Spirit of God. Don't extinguish. Think of a branding iron to put a brand on the lazy Z or something on the cow, and you're going to put it, and the branding iron's nice and hot, and you put the little branding iron on, the cow says, what is that? And you get the Z on the cow, and it makes a mark. But if you put the hot iron and the cow squirts water all over the hot iron is extinguished. It's quenched. It won't do anything. No mark. The Spirit of God said, don't extinguish the Spirit of God's awesome, wonderful ministry to mark you with what? The benefits of our Lord Jesus Christ. To give you the benefits. Don't extinguish what I'm trying to do. You quench me. You grieve me. Don't do that. And that's what happens. And we don't even know it. That's our old nature. Fighting. Galatians 5:17. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, one other Old Testament place that will help us, Psalm 78. And in Psalm 78, you would recall what we just did only in the New Testament, now in the Old Testament. And in Psalm 78, may I pick up, please, to get the idea very quickly, Israel, remember, Israel in verse 19, 78 and 19, that yea, they spake against God and said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? They tempted God, verse 18, they lusted. God has given them everything that they needed for super-duper life. But no matter what God did, isn't that interesting? No matter what you know about God's word, when your heart is sour, it won't make any difference, will it? Doesn't make any difference. When you're off base, there's nothing. You could say the most everything. Nothing will change. Human heart. Now, here's Psalm 78. They had all of that. They were fighting God. And therefore, sliding over to verse 36, nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. Sliding down verse 39, for he remembered that they were but flesh. He knew what we were. He knows what we are. A wind that passes away and cometh not again. God knows what we are. Humans don't. Humans get pride in their way up. God said, don't you know you're nothing without me? I made you of the dust of the earth. You don't even know what you are. Wow. And you're going to go back to dust. You can't maintain it. It's going to go. Dust you are, and dust you're going back to. Oh, no, yes, you are. And all the cemeteries and the oceans and the rest of the ground of the world is full of all the people that said they're not going to be dust. They are dust. Now, so there, here we are, and in the light of that, verse 40, how often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. And they limited him. They caused him to be limited. He wanted to do wonderful things for them, to keep them, and he did, in spite of them. Their garments didn't wear out, their shoes didn't wear out, they didn't get sick, and they had everything. But they didn't appreciate it. But they limited God. They limited. God, what would you do? Ah, hang on. What would you do, God? My little life. What would you do with my little life? Well, so now, getting to jump ahead. Remember, you don't have to turn there. Think of Job. Now, Job chapter 1, he starts off, and Job is a perfect heart, as it were, a single heart. God is pleased. God, the pleasure of God is satisfied looking at Job. The pleasure of God is satisfied looking at us, looking at you, looking at me. The pleasure of God. Now, and so, Job, you had everything? Everything? What was missing? Nothing. God, you put him through the mill. You did. And everyone's trying to figure out the devil did it for his reasons. The world, his friends didn't understand. The world didn't understand, that's for sure. His friends didn't understand. And Job hung in there, as you know. And God, you're doing a wonderful thing, because I'm looking for God. I thought you took care of us. I thought you gave us wonderful benefit. I do. I did. But I want you to be educated on why the benefits are there, because of who I am, and how, and to appreciate who I am, know me personally, flesh, know me personally, and appreciate. That's what I want. And so, God, you put Job through all of that, and all of it disappeared. His sons, his daughters, his animals, his servants, all of them. And you know when you come to the end of 42, Job said, I abhor myself in dust and ashes. I had no idea, God, about the whole business. I didn't quit on you, but boy, would I get educated about you. Too wonderful for me to even understand about you. And you know what God did? He restored all the blessing, didn't he? He blessed him and gave him some more sons, lots and thousands of animals. Wow. He blessed them. Wonderful, wonderful. He did all of that for Job. So God, are you out? You aren't out to get us? No, I'm trying to help you understand. I'm your father, and you have to learn to trust me, because I'm your father. Now, over if you would please, in the light of that. On your way. While we're doing that, you're in Psalm, baby. Over to Psalm 25 for a minute. Psalm 25. And you know, as you would, as you read and read, verse 12. 25:12. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. So God, here's Job. And God, you're doing it because you want him to learn. That's right. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. So what are we doing? Verse 12, to fear the Lord. Verse 14, with them that fear him, God, you doing wonderful things. And the believing heart then, verse 15, mine eyes are ever toward the Lord. He shall pluck my feet out of the net. God, as I travel, all the world system is what it is. But boy, Job, boy, you learned how to handle that one, and God blessed you. And here's the psalmist telling us, to reminding us that we need to trust God with all our heart, to have a fear of God, and he'll help us. Because the road is full of pit holes, booby traps, to get us. Not the world system doesn't want success, doesn't want you to be saved, doesn't want you to enjoy God, doesn't want you to know God, doesn't even want you to talk about God in a real way. Make believe, that's no problem. Religiously, you can talk to God and have a meeting with 10 million people. Just don't believe. Aren't those Muslims? Here's thousands of them. Down. As long as you do it to Allah and you don't believe, I'll applaud. Bow down again. It's noon. Bow down again. Bow down again. Wow. He didn't care. Now, Psalm 37. And picking up verse 1. Fret not thyself, David again, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. I don't want you to fret. And that is a reflexive, don't you do that. Don't you do that. It's a participle. It keeps on right on going. Therefore, don't fret. To burn, and then to fire, to be excited, to burn, to be incensed, etc. Moved. Jealous, covetous, wow, acting, excited, wow. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Verse 2, for they shall soon be cut out, down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. So, well, all of that, wow. But God, I'm looking at all that crowd, and it isn't coming out good, as you know, wonderful psalm, but sliding over in particular to verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, and he will, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. So God, as we seek to walk with you, we aren't perfect. Job was even perfected higher in his relationship, in understanding. And so God, we want to be. So we're going to learn. Our old nature is fighting you. Galatians 5:17. So God, I'm going to go and look. And God, you're going to, when I fall down, is that a problem? No. We confess our sin and what? He's faithful and just to forgive us. Just like that. We fall down. We know we fall down. We know we flunked. We know we didn't do right. Whatever, word, thought, or deed. And we say so. And boom, we're back in business. Just like that. Wow. If we take advantage of it and do it, God made it. So therefore, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And verse 25, I have been young and am old, and yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed baking bread. Now, there's no way that you can walk with God the Father and not come out. You can't. You have to come out. No matter how you cut the cookie, no matter what it looks like, even the cross, that's horrible. God was a winner. Christ was a winner. And you're a winner in Christ on the cross. Now, over if you would please. Over to Colossians. Colossians, if I can. Picking up Colossians 1, and in the I'll give you the prayer. Here's one of those. You want to know how to pray? These are the prayers, Ephesians and Philippians and Thessalonians and all of them. And here's one of our prayers. God, we want to know what to pray, how to pray. Well, God, what are you after, God? Well, I'm going to get the same thing you're after. Therefore, chapter Colossians 1, verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Well, that sounds pretty good. Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. God is happy. Being fruitful in every good work, that sounds very productive, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And the reality of the relationship continues to grow. Verse 11, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Wow. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, I'll read verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, having said that, verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. So the Lord Jesus Christ, who we're looking to, that saves us on the cross, he provided for us by his death, burial, and resurrection. He provided for us all of God's wonderful person. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ, every time he spoke in words and works, he said, if you've seen me and heard me, you've seen and heard the Father. He said, "It isn't if it's about me, I'm a lousy witness. It isn't about me." The Lord Jesus said that. It's not about me. It's about him. That's perfect man demonstrating God in a most perfect way. So now, Colossians 1:19. For it pleased the Father, in him should all the fullness dwell. So God the Father, in God the Son, in God the Holy Ghost, God. So in when you receive the Lord as your Savior, how much of God did you get? Did you get the Father? Uh-huh. Did you get the Son? Uh-huh. Did you get the Spirit of God? Mm-hmm. I did. Fullness. No skimpiness here. It's a whole ball of wax. Wow. Chapter 2, Act 2, verse 9, in him dwelleth all, lives, abides, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, which we just went over. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. So when I received the Lord as my Savior, I didn't receive some of God. I received his wonderful nature, essence, being, and I'm to know him in a most marvelous way. And thus in knowing him, then verse 10, and you believers, you are complete. The word complete is the word full in verse 9. You are complete, full, filled, full. How so? In him, which is the head over all principality and power. The angels, good and bad, he's the head. Now, who is in charge? Think of the angels that started and trying to get a handle on it. All the angels, it's all about, when you come to Revelation, who it's it all about? It's about angels and God dealing with humans. And the only other place that even doesn't even come close would be the book of Zechariah about angels. But Revelation, all about angels. All about them. How's it going to end? It's all about angels. Wow. Now, in the light of that, so we're looking for God to deal with our head and our heart. And in the process, God, you're going to go above all principalities and powers. And so when I received you, I can't have any more of God, no matter what I do, say, or think. I need to understand God. I need to know God. The Spirit of God's ministry is to make that possible in a most marvelous way. And that's why, as you know, Abba, Father, and all those things, that's why I keep saying it, so we could understand it. So, for real, personally, real. No mechanical and nothing. Now, that's what it's all about. So, now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over to Ephesians. And in Ephesians chapter 1, remember the principalities and powers. Christ is above them all, over them all. He's Lord of lords and King of kings. In Ephesians chapter 1, just keeping in mind, if you would, starting in verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, that's us. Who's usward? To believers. If you're a believer, you're an usward. Usward. Usward to believers. To believe. Those who believe, according to the working of what? His mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Well, how? What about the powers and the demons and the great hierarchy and principalities and powers? Verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things. And God, where do we fit in? Well, we're his body. The head is above and the body is below, connected. Which is his body? The what? Here's your little words. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. So the Spirit of God, in person of Jesus Christ, it makes our relationship to God to finish off. He's the head in the relationship, and we're the body. Special, 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 we've shared 100 times. And he fills the body. He is the fullness of God. So God, I can't have any more. No. And the body, in some awesome way, completes the head. Wow. That's called grace. Lord, why do you have that group of people? It's my show my grace, to show my grace, to show my grace. Wow. So God, here we are looking to you, and we're asking ourselves and looking, and well, the principalities and powers, since you're looking, over, if you would, to chapter 6. Because we're looking, because we've got a combat, we've got a problem with our old nature, Spirit of God against the flesh. And we got a problem because the world system is no way, shape, or form going to let up or back off in what they do. So they're invading, as never before, the human heart and mind by way of electronics. Never before has it been done. Now, so Ephesians chapter 6, picking up, please, in verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we're doing. So we have a battle. That's right, an awesome battle. And in the awesome battle that we're up against, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to take the Word of God, and that's what is our only offensive weapon? It is the Word of God. Now, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, the Spirit's sword. He's the source. What is the sword? Which is the Word of God. Now, that's your weapon. What's your weapon? Lord, how did you ever handle the devil? He said, I'll give you this, all these glory of all these kingdoms. I'll do this and make this happen. You'll be able to jump off the highest height and land safely. I'll do all of this. And he could have. And the Lord said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Thus saith the Lord, it is written, it is written, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that comes from my mouth. That's how to live. So God, you're telling us, that's right, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to come and take the Word of God, which is why we read it, so we can get a little over and over and over again till it sinks in and clicks, and all of a sudden you'll light up when it hits. Otherwise, you're there, and you're there, and you're there. And one day you'll know. Now, I'm not saying, let me just use a simple illustration. People can truly know the Lord as their Savior to receive Him. To the awareness of what just happened, that may not happen in their lifetime because they never got in the place to see it. But you know, when it clicks, boy, it makes a difference. Haven't you had truth somewhere down the line? If you've been a believer for 50 years, there ought to be something. Isn't there been somewhere that something you read and read, and somewhere, someday, the thing just clicks and comes together. The pieces fall together like that. Have you ever had that? Wow. When that happens, That's what God's looking for. Put the pieces together. Now, God, so here we are, and we're trying to figure out, we don't want to lose out on the wonderful Spirit of God's ministry and what he does, because he's absolutely necessary. So how are we going to enjoy all the benefits? God, we can't do it without you. The world system's grabbed hold of everything. So God, the only way we can use everything without getting shot down is by looking to you. And then we can eat, drink, whatever we do, work, home, school, play, we can do it what? As unto the Lord, to the glory of God. Otherwise, the world has it. And we're a slave to the system, a slave to everything. And we don't want to do that. Lust, being attached, desire. We want this, we want that. I got to have this. I need to understand. I want that. That's, I don't want to get caught like that. So now, and thus, in closing a thought, Psalm 23 and verse 5. You don't have to turn there. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And in that, the very last words, my cup runneth over. And the little word runneth over, overflows. My cup. In the presence of mine enemies, I'm able to eat and drink and work and school, and I can stumble through anything, anywhere, anyhow, because I'm going to look to you, God. And I'm able to do it in the thick and thin of the nastiest, terriblest anything because of you. And you prepare a table before me as I walk in the valley of deep darkness. And thou preparest a table. You anoint my head with oil. And my cup overflows. And remember the Near Eastern Semitic. That's what you do to show hospitality. When you fill the cup for the people sitting at your table, and you pour it so it spills, so it drips. Don't do that normally, because we don't want to do that. But that's what they did. And it says there's plenty. It overflows. Wow. God, that's what you want for us. Now we have to learn to trust you intelligently and rightly. And the Spirit of God's going to do wonderful things. Oh, it's his person. We're in his presence. So we don't have to worry about it. I just need to tap onto it. See? And I go to the same job, the same work, same school, same body. Right. But a wonderful God just saves us.